same situation I was. They just didn't have the same support system as me. And I became very motivated when I found out that homelessness is about getting people back on their feet. Again, as I do this, the song, God is good to me, that's the only way I see it. And I won't change a thing about the bad things. And that's the perspective that I think we can all try to have, is bad things and good things happen to all of us. Keep going forward, and maybe the bad is to try to help us have some perspective on where we came from and what we can do in the future and how strong we can truly be when we realize how many people put themselves into you.
From the inside out. And I think that the Holy Spirit can change how we see creation, how we see one another, how we love, and how we can connect more deeply. I think what is amazing is when you have this perspective, you begin to experience God is love in a new way. And I can think about, for my own life, the very first time when I really began to feel and to know in my body, not just in my head, but in my body, that God's love is abundant and unconditional. So I think that helps carry us through those difficult times to be transformed, to move through them. I think it's hard to imagine God's love as being unconditional and abundant. I know from my human perspective, I'm limited. It's hard to imagine this because I know that I make mistakes. I have to consciously stop and think about what does it mean to love. I have to stop and recognize that I have biases in my own mind. I have to see those barriers that I put in place. There are times where I make mistakes where I can underreact to something or I can overreact to something instead of choosing love. And I can say the wrong thing. Really good at saying the wrong thing. And as much as I try to unconditionally love, I know I'm human and I make mistakes. I can fall short. So it's hard for me to imagine sometimes how incredibly abundant and unconditional God's love is. But when I can see and I can change my perspective and I can see the work of the Holy Spirit, when I see the world from God's eyes with gratitude for that amazing and powerful love, it has power to transform us. So when I traveled to South Africa, what I learned was this kind of love is a frontier. This idea that the divine spark in me can see the divine spark in you. The love in me sees the love in you. And I think about it this way, with gratitude, that the gratitude in me can recognize the gift of you. So there's more to gratitude, because what it does is it helps us to grow, to expand our minds. So let's read this passage of scripture together to talk about gratitude. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your mind what you will give. That will protect you against subtle stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God, pour on blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never wear out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread to your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-blown lives, robust to God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way. producing with us great praise to God. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet their needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgivings to God. This relief offering is a cross to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plain meaning of the message from Christ. You show your gratitude for your generous offerings to the needy brothers and sisters, really toward everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for this gift, His gift. No language can praise Him. It's a long scripture, but I wanted to include the parable that Paul tells. This is Paul. He's writing to the church community in Corinth. And this is a church community that had been ripped apart by divisions and conflicts, that they were really struggling in their relationships with one another. And so he uses this parable to tell a story about planting, sowing, and planting. It's really about gratitude as a powerful way to lead to transformation. So if you read it carefully, you may have missed this because, again, it was long. But what he's saying is that gratitude is not an act of reciprocity. By that, I mean, reciprocity is the idea, and we're entering into Christmas season, right? I'm going to give you a gift, and you're going to give me a gift. Right now, write down your list of names, like who's going to give what. And then I know for me, oh my gosh, if there's somebody who's going to give awful, I want to give them a gift, right? Reciprocity. I do for you, you do for me. It's transactional, right? If you give for me, I give for you, right? And what Paul is doing is he's resisting this notion. He is saying that gratitude is not about reciprocity. Gratitude is the work of reconciliation. Gratitude is a work of reconciliation. It is about bringing people together, recognizing the diversity of gifts and givers, and working together in the common purpose of love for healing, forgiveness, and restoring relationships. It is healing work. It is justice work. It is peace work. So J. Paul Sampley writes this. If we think about how hard we worked to arrive where we are likely to become stingy because there is something programmed into us to think that either by our hands or by our hard work, we deserve what we have, or if we've been received the short end of the stick, we've been shortchanged and do not have enough. If, on the other hand, we think about how many doors have been opened to us and how we have gotten where we are by the way things have surprisingly opened to us by God's grace, by the working of the Holy Spirit, we are more likely to think more generously. Now, no doubt there is some truth that resides in both of these ways of thinking. The issue is how we keep perspective. And the spiritual practice of gratitude helps to shape our perspective and our way of being. So I'd like to invite Ara to come up and to share her gratitude story.
So, for me, very simply put, I feel like I was born into gratitude. And the reason I say that is that I grew up in a family of alcoholics. And if you grow up in a family of alcoholics who choose recovery, then you grow up in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And while for some people that could have been very scary as a child, it was, I think, the biggest blessing in my life to prepare for me what would come in the future through adolescence and adulthood. My father is in recovery for over 35 years. My fondest memories of being a child were in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. My dad would dress up as Baby New Year and Santa Claus. And he would stand up in front of people much like this and just tell his story. And as I grew older, I learned more about his story. Some things were really scary to me. But I learned that every step in your life takes you to where you're supposed to be. maybe not where you want to be in the moment, but definitely where you're supposed to be. And so through his alcoholism, my father was divorced, and not my mother. And even though the world or the universe or his ex-wife tried to keep them apart, they were meant to be together, and I believe they were meant to be together to foster my father's recovery. My father always said that as long as he lived a moment past my mom, that he would be forever grateful and that his life would be complete. And so the reason he said that is that after one of his escapades, he ended up in jail in Jersey City, crashed his car and came on a bus, my mother waiting. And when she was there waiting for him, she told him, "I have help with your bed." And he said, "I have nowhere else to go, so let's go." So he went home, drank a six-pack, the guy came and picked him up, and he was gone. And I remember all of that. I remember that because 2 nights after he went, someone crashed their car in front of our house, and that person was an alcoholic. And I remember my father going to rehab because my brother, from his first marriage, was an alcoholic. And I remember my dad going to rehab because my biological brother died by suicide, part of which because he was an alcoholic. And so I made a very conscious effort in my life to find gratitude in everything that happens. And while all of those things may sound kind of sad and kind of awful, without them, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. And so I believe growing up in a house full of gratitude, we were poor, very similar story to Rich. I actually got hired from when I was a kid too, and I was like, we must have known each other in a past life. but growing up that way really, I think, made me the person that I am. Thankfully, knock on wood, I'm not an alcoholic, and hope I never am. But I have such gratitude for addiction. And I think for those of you that know my story and Marisol's story together, addiction has continued to play a very important part of our life. Not necessarily in a good way, but because we've been allowed to, I believe through God's guidance, raise two children impacted by addiction, one of which is still with us, one of which is no longer. But again, I found gratitude in that because the first child that we had people to go to. And when Marisol definitely dealt with the loss of the first baby, more so than I did, it's because she raised her. And so when Brittany left us, I did everything I could do to support Marisol and finding gratitude in the moments that we had with her. And then I believe that gratitude showed up before me. So Nova was abandoned at the hospital and had no one to love her. And not a caseworker through the agency, but the county called us. And they were like, "There's a sweet girl that needs you." And so I believe in gratitude, and gratitude brought us to Nova. I think the most profound moment of gratitude in my entire life happened in March. So it was Marisol and I were watching This Is Us, which is a hard show for me to watch since then, but I still love it because I believe there's a lot of gratitude in that show as well. But we were sitting on our couch that night, and I could hear my phone ring, and it was my dad. And he told me that my mom passed away. And it was unexpected. She was sick, but definitely unexpected. And I'm looking at Marisol, and she's hysterical, and I'm just looking at her thinking, I should probably do that. But I feel like all the gratitude that has graced my life and my family over the past several decades really made its most profound statement at that moment, because I looked at Marisol and I said, at least I had 18 more years with my mom, because she could have died when she was 55. My dad came home from work and she was passed out, almost in a diabetic coma, because we called her Dr. Mom, but she never cared for herself. And so she took care of everyone else and nearly died trying to hide her illness from the rest of us. And so I got to celebrate gratitude in that moment. And sometimes I look back and I think, did I do the right thing? Should I react in a different way? But I profoundly believe that the gratitude that I grew up with and grew up in and was encouraged my entire life by was all for that moment. Because I said, oh, so I don't like telling all my friends that my mom died. I'm probably going to have to get a straitjacket because I think I'll lose my mom. But in that moment, I didn't. And so I truly believe that gratitude is something that was born into my being, not necessarily through my experiences, but I do believe that God gifted me something so unbelievably inexplainable. And everywhere I go, no matter what the hardships are, no matter what the challenges are, I always believe that good comes from everything. And if you can take the time and find a quiet for yourself and look at your life, I couldn't echo what Rich said anymore. Like, I don't live life with any regrets because every good thing, every bad thing, and there have been a lot of bad things, got me to be able to stand here today. Have a beautiful wife, two beautiful children, a father who, through my mom's passing, I gained a stronger relationship with, and a church family that has accepted us in every way possible. So I hope all of you find gratitude in everything that you do. For those of you that know me, I'm not super biblical, but I do have one particular piece of the Bible that I follow pretty dearly, and it's from 1 Thessalonians. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Thanks, Jen. Good morning. I wasn't supposed to be here, or so I thought. So growing up in a small town, or a town, I don't know if any of you are familiar with it, I couldn't wait to get the hell out. Kurtztown, I leave my valley, and I agreed that I knew no one to be in politics. So I was a page when I was in high school, so I worked in the Congress, and I wanted to go away and go away forever. So I thought. So I went to school in my first semester, I failed. I failed miserably. Not my academics, but I knew almost immediately that it wasn't where I was. I would wake up in the middle of the night with panic attacks. I couldn't breathe. And midway through the semester, I said, I have to come home. So I left. My dreams were crushed. And I didn't know where to go or what to do. But my family pulled me in, they picked me up. They're like, we're going to get through this, we're going to do it, we're going to figure it out. And so, bit by bit, you know, I went to Albright for a little bit, I went to Temple for a little bit, and bit by bit, I started to find my way. And so, like, through that, I was so grateful and fortunate to have a family that took me back, that supported me, that helped me find my journey. And through that, faith became a part of my slow transformation and rebuilding. When I went away to school, I was cocky, I had a chip on my shoulder, I thought I knew everything. Part of that is adolescence and growing up. Part of it was just the nature of who I was. And part of this transformation, I'm like, becoming myself and like rebuilding myself was my home church, the church I grew up in. And so I started as a volunteer there just for something to do. And so over a couple of years, I got really involved and really active. And I was on their original team, which they called the consistory. And we had these big, bold ideas. My grandma was involved. Keenan, many of you know here, was involved. And we started to make transformational change to help our community. So for a church that like took me in, I wanted to give back. We were dying, we were dwindling, and we wanted to go through transformation. And the reason I tell you this is it's how I got to the barn. And we were in like year five of transformation. And the pastor who had for so long said, yes, this is exciting and innovative. Almost the drop of a hat. Like, we got to this inflection point where it was like, change and become something like this, or continue with what you were. And we believed she could do it, and she was going to drive transformation. It was just something she was scared of, it wasn't comfortable. And the drop of a hat said, get out, go. And I was heartbroken. An organization and a community and a family that took me in when I was like at my pits and trying to find myself. Really didn't rally around, didn't support us, and they're like, everyone who wanted to do the transformation just leave. And so I said to myself, if I do not go to another church, I'll never go back. And Joe had come and done a little bit of consulting and leadership work for us. So I'm like, where is that lady? This is Googling, and that I lived at the barn. So I walk in, and it was the aisle of misfit toys, wasn't it? I remember I walked over in the other room, and it was rowdy, and I'm like, I love this. Everybody was so excited. And I was sitting in the back, and Amaro kept coming up, and I thought he was trying to talk to me. He was little at that time, this was 2 years ago, and I realized he was one of the toys behind me. And I'm like, I'm going to come back again. And so I came back the next week, and we were back in this room, and Sue was preaching, and there was like this wildlife scene, and there was this like lion chasing a bear cub. I don't know if any of you remember this. This is like burned into my mind. And the bear, like the mama bear came to protect the baby, and Sue was just like, mama bear's always got her back. God's always got her back. And I knew I was with in that moment. And I brought my mom and my grandma and I brought Tina. And we all fall in love. And the reason I tell you this story is I didn't just find another home and another family, but I began to find myself. I began to, because of Joe, because of Sue, and because of all of you, I began to think about the world differently. To think about myself differently. How to walk with grace and humility. How to love myself. I and how to love other people and their imperfections. So I guess with all of this, I just want to say I'm grateful to all of you. I'm grateful to my journey for where it's brought me. And I'm grateful that I get to laugh, dance, and sing with all of you every Sunday. Thank you.
In your life and in those around you. This
truly, I believe it is love that has the power to transform our communities and our worlds. Love wins.